All righty, it's Ask the Mayor on the computer. We're social distancing. Who knows, maybe we'll be able to get together next month, but for now we're on Zoom. First of all, I see you're wearing your mask, and it's a different kind of mask. It has the Indiana logo on it. How'd you get that?
It sure does. Yeah, there's a couple ladies here at City Hall who took to making some masks, and they know that I'm an IU graduate, IU fan. And so President McGrabby, just hope you're watching, but it's a lot easier to talk without those on. I can tell you that, but yeah, it's a lot of fun to be able to sport those colors. Just, do what you can to make light of the situation, right?
Yeah.
It's a tense time for all of us.
How's it going over there in Columbus?
You know, things really are going pretty well. Among the numbers we watch are the statistics that are given to us by Columbus Regional. And in particular, their usage, the number of people they have in ICU compared to the total available, as well as total beds versus total available. And those numbers seem to be trending well for us. So, from that perspective, we feel pretty good. A little concern that some people are, taking it a little too fast. Governor Holcomb, made his announcement last week, and I think some people thought he was waving a flag at the start of the 500. I mean, just, couldn't get out fast enough. And so we had some anecdotal information that came in over the weekends of people who took it a little too soon. But in general, things are going pretty well here in Columbus. We were fortunate to have some of the employers starting back up. There's a fair amount of office workers who are still at home. But some of the line or production workers have begun to return to their jobs, and so we're happy to see that. But just concerned that maybe we're moving a little too quickly. We just would hate to lose the moderate flattening of the curve that we've been able to achieve. We'd hate to lose that. So we'll wait and see how it plays out.
So how do you feel about Holcomb's loosening of the restrictions that started on Monday? And then the next question is Bartholomew County, Columbus following that, or are you on your own plan right now?
Well, I'll answer that one first. We're going to follow the governor's plan until we have data that indicates we should do something different. So we will not move faster than the governor's plan. But if the data that I mentioned earlier, some of the statistics we get from the Columbus Regional Health System, some of those indicate that we're not doing so well, then we may slow things down. But right now we plan to move according to the governor's schedule. And there was a wide expectation or a heavy expectation that he would do something, to sort of push us towards a reopening. And so I expected that, and I expected it to be gradual. As we looked around at other states and other cities, they had all come forward, or most of them had come forward with some kind of a phased reopening approach. And so I expected to see something pretty similar to what he presented.
Do you know if services there are being used also by, you were talking about ventilators, ICU beds, are those also being used from outside of Columbus and Bartholomew County?
Not that I'm aware of. As far as I know, the last time I talked, and this was late last week, to the folks at Columbus Regional, they had people in the ICU units, but none for COVID related issues. So yeah, we feel like we're at the moment, knock on wood or whatever the appropriate analogy is, we feel like we're in good shape. But we understand that can change quickly, and so that's why we need to keep an eye on our numbers and see where we are.
And that's how you're determining how you're progressing through the loosening of restrictions, yep, is by the hospital, the availability of medical facilities.
Yeah, that's one of the things that the, there are four characteristics, I can't remember all of them off the top of my head, that the governor came forward with in terms of how we ought to manage our way, through from one phase to the next. And one of the ones that we talked about there was the availability within the healthcare system. If we found ourselves with no room at the end, so to speak, that's a place we don't want to be. I mean, if somebody gets sick and there's no place we can take you to provide for adequate care, then that's a position we don't want to allow ourselves to get into. So yeah, we're going to monitor those numbers and, project them forward as best we can. It's pretty inexact science, not a very easy thing to do, but we will make our efforts to try to get to stay away from 100% capacity.
I was looking at the numbers today, 297 tested positive in Bartholomew County, 17 deaths, 662 tested. That those numbers seem high for a county like Bartholomew.
Well, the numbers are a little hard to track at times. Part of what the number tested is higher than that. I don't know. I mean, I saw that number as well, you know, on the state's site. And the number that CRH tells me has been tested is well over 2,000. And once you get to there, then the number of positives begins to make some sense. You know, that number seems right to me. And obviously I'm not in position to discuss the, you know, the fatalities, they are what they are, but, compared to, some of the other counties, Marion and, some down south along the river that get a little bit more traffic than we might, you know, I feel like our numbers are within range or within the realm of what's reasonable. Again, for us, it can be difficult sometimes to tell whether the positives are people who live here and, you know, work in other counties or whether they live in other counties and work here. And so you get a little bit of inconsistency. That's why, you know, we pay attention to what's at the state's website, but we really are going to follow what the healthcare system tells us, because at the end of the day, if you're in Bartholomew County, that's where you're going to go if you need some assistance. So, you know, their numbers are, like I say, the number of positives that the hospital reports to us is about the same as what you mentioned. The number of tested is probably four times greater than that.
Okay, so that would explain, because at first it's like, wow, that's almost like a 40% positive rate. I saw, of course, we've been hearing about more testing, and the governor wants to open up about 50 sites throughout the state, and I see Columbus has one that should be open tomorrow, Wednesday, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any more information about that, where it is and how people can get tested?
My understanding is it'll be at the Armory, which is on the airport grounds. It's a fairly nondescript building except for the tank that's out front. So, you know, if you can get that close to get to the Armory personnel carriers, I think is really what it is. You know, the Armory is the building behind that. But we were also thinking too that the hospital has got access now to the 1-hour test results that come from Abbott Labs, I believe, and so they now test everybody who comes into the facility, and that is also accounting for a significant increase in the number of people tested. So, you know, it's interesting. It's worthwhile, you know, to be tested and to sort of find out where you are. Almost as important is the tracking. You know, that should follow along after that. If you test positive, we'd like to know who you've been in contact with so that we can check to see whether or not they have, whether they also test positive. And then from that point, you know, try to identify all the others who may need to be put in isolation or requested to isolate.
And it looks like that, you know, this will be happening across the state as more and more people get tested and there are more positive results coming back. Will that concern you in terms of restrictions,
or
you
really just because you know, most of, again, what we're trying to do is to keep the healthcare system from being overwhelmed, so that if people you know, actually develop the disease, you know, they can go be treated. But we'll just have to follow the numbers, see where they go.
You know, I have to ask you about this too. I saw this in the Republic today, where the county wants to install devices to detect those with fevers at the courthouse, and an alarm will go off if someone's fever is too high. Have you heard about this?
I hadn't heard about the alarm. I've seen the handheld thermometers, you know, that can read in an infrared fashion temperature of your forehead. And I've actually, in some of my international travels, I've seen that done. I've had that done to me. It's very non-invasive. I mean, it's just more or less like looking into an iris scanner. And this apparatus measures the temperature of your forehead. And the truth of the matter is, if I've got a temperature, I'd like to know about it and, you know, be able to take some steps early rather than late in terms of trying to mitigate the reason for the temperature or any disease that's underneath it. So I've seen some of that at the that the county has, and we'll see where that goes. You know, see how successful they are with that.
No, I did have one email come in from a listener, a viewer, and they wanted to know that they were notified they had a return to work in a Columbus factory May 4th. Uh-huh. They're 66 and have diabetes. And so this kind of had the question of, you know, should I return to work or how do I handle this? Do you have any advice?
Hey, you need to work that out with the employer. It's a tough spot to be in where you, that person, I guess, by definition, has two of the risk factors, diabetes or pre-existing condition as well as age. And it's going to be a difficult time, you know, so perhaps they could find a way to work from home or find a way to work out some other arrangement with their employer.
And just in general, how should people feel if they're brought into work, not essential during these times?
Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in. And again, what we're encouraging people to do is to just sit down with your employer and understand whether you truly are essential and if there's some other way to complete your tasks. And most of the employers that we're familiar with here in Bartholomew County are willing to work with their employees. So, you know, hopefully that will that'll play out here.
What's your message to the other people who are frustrated about things not opening soon enough? You've seen some protests, you know, in Indianapolis and other places. What's your message for those people?
All we're trying to do is keep people alive and healthy. I mean, it's a little frustrating, but I understand, you know, the whole notion is that we'd like to be able to get out and do what we want to do. I mean, in the United States here, we're individualists, or we think we are, and we got a lot of civil or personal liberties, and we want to be able to exercise those, and I get that. But at the same time, you don't live in this country by yourself. You know, there are plenty of other people who you need to be concerned about, and many of them are your family or your friends who, as I mentioned just a moment ago, either have some pre-existing conditions or age. Just, you know, puts them at a little bit greater risk to this virus. And so it's not just yourself that you think about or need to think about. It's the people around you. And some of those people may be in your family. Some of those people may be go to your church, or you might work with them. But when you fail to take precautions, you put them at risk in addition to yourself. So you just need to keep that in mind. And all we're trying to do, like I said earlier, is just keep people alive and healthy. And in time, this too shall pass, you know, but we need to be patient and allow that to take its course.
I did see, since we last talked, there have been some new opportunities for small businesses to get some help from the city. Can you explain a little bit for the rest of our listeners and viewers what you have set up there?
Yeah, we've got two programs underway now. One we call Columbus Invigorate. This program uses city money to make loans to small businesses in need. We've put up $1 million that we took from various funds within the city, and I have some pretty broad criteria. I mean, a pretty loose criteria. I mean, under $2 million in revenues and under 50 employees and within the city limits. So, you know, fill out an application and we'll do what we can to help. But typically we're looking at loans between $5,000 and $25,000. We had applications open through April 30th. We've had 53 applicants. And we have a loan committee, a volunteer loan committee that will review those. And hopefully by the end of this week, we'll be in a position to disperse some funds. So that's one program. The second program, really, it doesn't have a name. I wish we didn't think far enough in advance to give it a name. But it's some funding that we received from the Department of Housing and Urban Development. So this is federal money that is designed to assist renters. And these would be renters who would qualify by virtue of their income. We could provide assistance with rental payments and with utilities. So that fund is about $200,000, and those applicants or applications will be received, I want to say, this week. But you can get more information about each by visiting the City of Columbus website and just click on the appropriate link, and there'll be some kind of it'll take you someplace where it'll give you an explanation as to more of the details in the program.
How's the response been?
The response for the rental program is too soon to tell. We just really haven't seen too much on it yet. And candidly, we're spending most of our time just trying to process the applications that we've received for the Invigorate program. But we'll get on the rental program this week and see where that takes us.
I know we're almost done time-wise, but I wondered if you had any other updates on some of the other things that that still kind of go on in the life of government, even though it's there's a pandemic.
Well, we continue to work on a few of the projects that we have for the downtown area. The hotel conference center is likely going to be set back. It's very difficult to obtain financing right now. If you're in that business, not too many banks are prepared to loan money for brand new facilities. The apartments that were part of that project, I think those may be able to go forward on a quicker timetable. That requires us to work a little bit with the county commissioners with respect to some of the land that they own that we'd like to utilize. So, you know, those conversations, some of that's been going forward, and we may be able to have an announcement here within a week or so. It's a little early to tell, but hopefully something will come forward with that. The Fair Oaks Mall project also is sort of put on hold. I mean, a lot of the people from the city and the hospital who are working on that project are the ones who are leading our response to the coronavirus. So the Fair Oaks project's been put on hold. We're still moving forward a little bit with the riverfront. We should have something more to say about that, but it's going to be another month because the folks that we're working with at the Indiana Department of Revenue are also on, you know, a limited schedule. So, you know, we haven't given up, you know, on anything, but it has sort of put us behind by a couple months.
And the bypass, railway bypass is going. I saw some photos. Beams are going up, huh?
Yeah. It was kind of fun. Yesterday, the contractor invited a few of us to come out and just take a brief walking tour. So we got to park our cars and walk up the grade from the west end and just look at the bridge supports. I mean, they set the beams here late last week, and it's impressive. I mean, you're up there 35 or so feet, you know, above the railroad tracks, and get a pretty good view to the south and to the west. To the east, I mean, into the city, you see a lot of trees, and I guess that's to be expected. We got a lot of trees, but it's neat. I mean, it is really an interesting project, and it's kind of fun to get up there and just talk to the project manager and some of the folks who are making it happen. And it's amazing that, you know, you get like a 500 ton crane or whatever come out to set those beams, and it takes two of them because you obviously got to lift each end. But yeah, fun to watch.
All right, that was all I had. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we go today?
No, I'm just looking forward to my next haircut. I you know, I looked at it over a few days ago. I think it's been 7 weeks. And so while I was listening to the mayor or to the governor's speech, you know, he said May 11th we could get our haircut. So I texted, you know, my barber, and we're good to go, 8 o'clock in the morning. So I'm looking forward to that.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Take care.
Bye. Bye-bye.